Turn it to the book of Prophet Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, and I'll read to you verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. These are the words of God by the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Israel, and that's our thinking this morning. And some of Prophet Jeremiah come ahead with the money or the Israel for any agent in there and the pay. Now I'll say, now I'm called for. I am born a Mienu. Omo ejame. Ah, me ye mkwa isutreno. Na oma ko tu amuna apapai antumi enso insyo. Antumi enfansi. Antumi emansyo enjinamu. So this is what we are thinking this morning. Say, Rade, last summer, Odea Mfa, Jeremiah Sukachi Israel for you. And our subject is the fountain and cisterns. The fountain and cisterns. The agent so Ashe Asemeye. In class to train any Imura. The fountains and cisterns. In this verse, I'm sure we follow the reading. But in this verse, the Lord makes a contrast of himself with other things which the backsliding Israel have laid on or hoped in for peace, for well-being, and for comfort. He compares himself with the things and the other people, whatever, they have leaned on or hoped in for their safety, their welfare, to himself. And that's the idea in the verse. The Yerade, Yankupon, or you have all kind of verse, more or the children for the same, or the home or Che Israel, or so Che Israel for me, or yes, from home. So, or soon was saying, and you ma, I'm doing a real majority to the over rare apostleship. Say, no, I've been more mass from Jay, no more, I won't talk about a bravo, no more near general. Or the home, or yes, from Cosin, Esa, or no bonus, and your no your mom, no associates are. And against this thing, this the people of Israel have hoped in and they have also relied on, the Lord reminded them of his kindness to them. He told them that these things you have trusted in and that you hope for relief so that you are not. Being obedient to me. Look at what I have done for you before. In verse 6 to 7, he says, Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? You know, God, it was God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that led us to the wilderness, through a land of desert and pit, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country. To eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when he entered, he defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. So the Lord reminds them of his kindness to them, and that Israel as a nation owed their establishment as a people, their existence, and their origin and their existence to God himself. It was God who purposed to make them a nation. It was God who called Abraham, their great-grandfather, and then blessed him and promised him to give him the land of Israel. And even promised to deliver them from Egypt and now settle them in the land where they are. He has made them a people. He has established them a people. But the current generation that Jeremiah is speaking to have sought to replace God, his worship, and his trust with idolatry. And things that are nothing in comparison to God. And they have also placed their confidence in other nations, Assyria and Egypt, for protection. And now you find verse 10, 12, 18, God reminds them that they have left him, they have gone to, instead of serving and worshipping him and seeking to honor him as his people, to pay their dues, to show their indebtedness to him, so that they will be grateful to worship him. No, they've given their worship to idols, and they have also put their trust for protection in Assyria and Egypt. These were, in those days, the great kingdoms of the time. And they said this people can give them protection than what God is for them. The Israel form why you know say, yeah, see, I put on a camera and all kind of money. I didn't be away at the album, so no more my bear mine. And then for some of course, say, mine, I have a bomb who buy, or no bomb who buy. So, on that, or dear Mabis yourself, mine, and so, sir, Nipakuno and I Jeremiah, or Catacho more Sam Reno. Omo ede Yankupon, Epsom, no matter Sunday, I pray for some song. And I must answer, I do omo real papa share Assyria and Egypt for Serbia. Omo bomb home by Serbia will be able to attack your man, say, or be near my bequa, Assyria and Egypt, no more real papa show me. Omo form Rashi Radimubio, not someone your moshe. Now, Assyria and Egypt, I'm no more yet, am I on a nice or more to move, yes. Some of them real papa share, grew at the same. So they thought that they could continue as a nation without God, without His almighty power and wisdom that has kept them up to this, the very time He's talking to this, He's speaking to them. And because after all, it means yeah, they beat me. And the only answer might be say, Omo to me, Abomobra, Omo to me, Akosua, say, Crow, no matter what say, Afibo, Omo here, and Kupomio. So they have, they thought they could continue as a nation without God, without His mighty power to protect them, without His wisdom, His word to direct them, so that they don't care to listen to. You know how He said, in the prophet. Look at how the prophet and those who ask me to teach His word, they don't care about it. Verse 8, the priest said, not where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophet prophesied by Baal, and walk after that do not profit. Even so, those who are supposed to even direct them in the word of God, they don't care about it at all. They are doing different things altogether. And the nation, the whole nation has given themselves up to idolatry. And so, as they have they think they can go on without God, they have shunned their submission to Him. They love not His name anymore, they've neglected obedience to Him. They've abandoned His worship and service. So this is what God is telling them. Look at the kindness I've done to you, but look at what you are repaying me. You see? And He would like them to remember. He would like them to know that He is not just a God by name. He's a God that can relate it. It's a God that has related to them for years, for generations. That's why they are. It's a God that brought them to being. And that all the other gods they are relying on have done nothing of such to them. You see. Moreover, God also reminded them of the vanity of the idols they have placed their trust in, they have replaced Him with, and also the powerlessness of these nations. God reminded them. God is so kind, you know. That's why we say God is slow to anger, swift. He's slow to wrath, but swift to mercy, because why would he take his time to even come to them and speak to them like that? Yes, I'm going to move on to na ne wufu shi no to de bu no de ba na de yakopon kra obepem re no aba be kasa chiro mu se you see God is God, that is why he is God, and that he even went on to show them the vanities of the idols and also the powerlessness of this nation. In verse 27 he tells them, in verse 27 to 28 he says, saying to a stock, thou art my father, referring to the people of Israel, and a stone, thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. See, they've given themselves to vanities, but they will come to him when they are in trouble. But look at verse 20, but where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods. God is asking them, you have put your trust in other gods, but when you are in trouble, you want to cry to me to help you. Let them help you. Just telling them that these idols are nothing. They have nothing to do for you. They cannot help you. And he also said that the powerlessness of this nation, verse 36 to 37, he says, why gathest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. They will be disappointed by these two nations. Assyria will disappoint them. Egypt to disappoint them. That's what he's saying. Why are you going this way? There's a disappointment ahead of you. So he foretells them of a bitter disappointment which was awaiting them for forsaking him and to confide in idols and other nations, their power and their what they can do for them. And Jeremiah Kaya almost said, "Said the Amal power in the chin, no more Amal Polo, no more call Afshma Bosom." No, I can't do a share. I am a say, Assyria, the Egypt is ready. See? Verse 37, here thou shalt go forth from him, and thy hands upon thy head, for the Lord has rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Look at how they will go from them with their hands upon. You know, when people put their hands, when they are in trouble, you pursue them for help. But you come back with your hands on your head. They have nothing to offer you. The Lord has rejected their confidence. They're forgetting that it is God who is keeping these nations in power. See the folly? That's what he's telling them. What's the meaning? So he's telling them. You know that what the Lord foretold Israel came to pass in the days of Prophet Jeremiah himself. You know, after the death of Josiah was the last godly king of Israel. All the kings after him, they became slaves. Finally, they were taken captive to Babylon. So God destroyed the whole nation of Israel. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 20 to chapter 36, verse 1 to 21, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 28 to chapter 25, 1 to 21, we have the history there. After Josiah, the only godly king, his children and his brothers came to be kings, about some kings. Each one of them, they became worse, and Egypt, Josiah himself, came to attack him, and it was through his fighting Egypt that he died. And then Egypt itself fell into the hands of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. At the time of Jeremiah, the Chaldean kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom was the one coming to the scene. They were overtaking every nation. So the Chaldeans captured Egypt. They captured Assyria. So that Israel's confidence was dashed. Egypt became a servant. Assyria became a servant. And they were subdued by Chaldeans. And Israel itself became also captive. For 70 years, you see, the Israel for Ebemu, Jeremiah and Gatanim Resuno,
ɔhene baako a na Israel ɔbɛyɛ nyankopɔn obi a n'osu nyankopɔn ɔno wuyɛ Josiah wuyɛ na ɛkyire ahemfo ɛba Israel ɛkyi nyinaa no ɔn bɛdi bɔne nyankopɔn de asotwe ma ɔmo ɛma Egypt koraa mpo ɛdi ɔmo nya Assyria nso ɛtwe ne ho na afei Babylonfoɔ bɛfa ɔmo nyinaa na Assyria ne Egypt na ɔmo de ɔmo rahyɛ mu Babylonfoɔ kye ɔmo nyinaa so kapti ɛbɛyɛ ɔmo mpo aka ho. So you see that what God was telling them was true. That for my people have committed to evil, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and healed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Also, in call for my poor, no more. Me and my and qua sutreno, and for my papa, mura, a papai. I'll come to that and I'll look at the picture of that. I'm trying to look at it. But then, that is the people of Israel, and they are forsaken of God. But you know, the very saints of the Israelites is at the door of everyone who thinks that he can go through life without knowing God and submitting to him. Israel, for one year, my year, dream we. Sano biara the sunni say, oh, wait me if you say me abari ase me timi abu mabra abu makoso a me hu nyankopon na me nsuro na mfa munhye na se sa bone no sa ni fa no obin sa no sa na na bra ni bone tie sa ma ya hu abu mabari ase na nso me de me hwe na me hu no na kwan na me timi hu se ma bra abu so ne ni na mmom no me koso fi se won kwa ah me wa ho den timi ko ba I mean me wa me be bre se metena se Sadi pa ni boni awa ye no oku anaso oku so ye se de Israel for eye. So this one applies to everyone who think he can go on in life without God, and this is common nowadays. It's a very popular idea, you see, throughout. Even actually, if you should think of God, you shouldn't become a serious Christian. Agree and also that say be bread. Oh, so we have more. Any and who any Christian, any who change name. Oh, pastor kakra. Oh, we are to correct and be now. Ye Christian kakra. Any Christian papa. Now if free, now then I'm not bothered. This is very common nowadays. People go, well, go to church or give some collections or some tithe or do a little and live your life as you please. You see, God touch Christianity. It's the same as saying, God, I don't want to live under your rule. I don't want to know you. Because that kind of a religion, Christianity, is no Christianity at all. You see? God wants us to know him and know his ways and submit our lives to him. So that we live by his wisdom, not our own wisdom. But generally, and now this is common. Young people, they start life and they imagine life for themselves. You see? And they move on. Well, they seem to be successful, they are happy. God, they are intelligent, well, they are smart, whatever. But no. So this is what the Lord is telling us. So in thinking further of our subject, I mean our text, I would like to think, how God is the fountain of living waters. Further, I've forgiven him. Basically, I'm going to and sue our patches or didn't want to throw and quite as you tray. I didn't know what the most to say. Well, a fountain literally means that a well dug in the ground for storing groundwater. So, you can't say, in the Hebrew language, in the Hebrew, they call a fountain eleven. Israel, because always, why do they say that? Because it is reliable and refreshing, because it springs out of itself. There's always fresh water coming. I'm sure we have seen fountains and how they flow. The water flow by themselves. You don't need to pump the water into it. You don't need to do anything. The water comes out of itself. That's the picture here. And what God is comparing this to, representing himself as the fountain of living water. He means that, I've hinted already, he's the source of all lives and their well-being. Not just the source, but the well-being of life.
Adi nyambo pon ni nyambo tu se oye ensuo treno ensubonti treno. Ah ogolo se aye mkwa ensubonti treno. Opashes onu nu na mkwa nyafie no. Ene mkwa nso mesi obetu me nyamto. You see, many there are some people who think, well, yes, our life comes from God, but our well-being doesn't come from Him. People don't say with their mouth, but their life show. So, when you come to Africa, I'm sure that one, most people, oh, nyangupo na boy, nyangupo ye, nyangupo na boy. But say nyangupo na boy ye no. Say me who say me ye die ni bibi efinu no. It was me clean no na me share no that be any day so there. Nyangupo na boy, but then we live for ourselves. But then, what the Lord God is saying here, He's telling us that He's not just the source of life, the well-being of life. You see. Yes, I'm confident, Pepe. Nemo, say a bra bobe, yes, said the person in the pa bra boy. Yes, when you remember any patch, so Serbia, you can say a year deal or a bravo more, or no, so on one night, you're born a bra, or when you see a car, we see a dime, you're when you're in your mother, or so we did, Abby. You know, when I tell when people want to think of well being, they imagine well being by themselves. Well, I have lived a life, I have business or work, I've saved, I've built a house, I have some properties, I live well, I eat well. That's not well-being. I don't need the idea on your mind. That is what people have imagined. That's not well-being, you see. It's a deception. I don't need the idea. I'll go on and we'll see that that's not well-being. You see, that's what the world thing is, and also, of course, I refer to this. So when somebody dies, then they say, oh, a life well lived. Meaning, well, he lived well, he had good employment, his children are well to do, and he didn't become a poor person, whatever. A life well lived. No, that's not in the eyes of God. And so I go, Otana Brabem, oh, Yejuma, Oshenimba, Onyanyoma. If I did, he had a will know so. He prayed about whatever I did, but Yamu point is a new Yabra Papa. That's not well, to live well in the eyes of God. No, that's not the purpose of our existence. Job said, we came with nothing, we go with nothing. Compare that to what they describe as a well being. No, Yabba, we are the unhappy, and my back quite in fact, Uncle. What they told them, say, yeah, I'm Rabba, where is he taking it to? Before God, we are naked and nothing, you see. Where is the well-being? So, God wants us to know that our life comes from Him, and He holds our well-being, and He can show us how we can live to please Him. So that if we seek to know Him, He will show us this. But if we ignore Him, yes, we imagine our well-being and live and die. And what is the end? You see, but that's what people do. Well, no, they imagine what life should be and live for themselves. You know, our natural life comes from Him. Even spiritual lives come from Him. All lives by Him. Only God has life. All life originates from Him, and He sustains all life. You know that our safety as we go about our daily activities come from Him. How many of us think of that? Well, I'm sorry, maybe I'll because of bomb five which I'm going away the M1. But then who told no cover there that be I know the only answer. You see? No. Our safety is in hand. In Proverbs 21, verse 31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. It's not in the swiftness of the horse that could run, or the intelligence to fight is in the Lord. If you read the history of nations and wars that have been fought, many a times big armies have fallen before armies that were nothing. And they have overcome them. Many a time. Big empires have fallen into smaller empires. Why? God sets one up, He brings one down. God brings one up, He brings one down. You see, so that our safety is in His hands. You see? All enjoyment of life, our comfort, our opportunities, our advantages in life come from Him. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. No, 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 no. In isn't it wonderful that God has made it so? And yes, because of people want to forsake Him, they think they are free from Him. Forsaking God doesn't mean that you are doing, God has nothing to do with you. It's you who are thinking you have nothing to do with God. So God has something to do with you. Well, then you will not be blessed. We cannot, you can have a friend and say, well, I'm separated from the friend. Yes, you are free. The friend you are, you doesn't owe anything. You don't owe him anything. But with God, you forsake Him, but you are not free from His hand. You are still in His hand. See, it's like a child in the house who wants to be stubborn, and yet you come. His feeding, his upkeep is from the house. He cannot go anywhere. He has to come to the house again to eat and to do whatever he has. That's what those people say God they do. So all our privileges are freely given to us by God. He's a giver and preserver of life. But yet, He speaks again to forsake Him. He says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Well, He has given life, He has given the support and everything, and yet He says, they have forsaken Him, the fountain of living waters. Now, to forsake God is the most disastrous thing any creature could do. A creature forsaking his creator. He has made all things. It's like a tree, which is not possible. No branch will want to do that. And a tree, and a branch will say, "Well, I don't need the plant. I don't need the tree. The branch is, I don't need the mother plant. I want to live on my own. How can I survive?" And but that's what those who think they want to forsake God, and that their life are not answerable to Him. That's what they are doing. You see, in reality, it's not true. Like, how can a branch cut itself from the mother plant and live? You see? But yet, when people forsake God, that's what they do. I'm cutting off myself from God. I don't care about His word, His law, His worship. I want to live my life of sin. And how can you? You see? He will give you life to continue a life of sin. And what you the fruits or the blessing He will bless is your punishment. For cutting yourself from Him. You cannot cut yourself from God. You cannot forsake God in reality. You rather sin against Him, and that's forsaken. Nobody can forsake God because you either know Him and His blessings, or you live against Him and His punishment. That's it. Here in Timmy and Punya, on Ukraine, you can't be in a way to Punya. If we say, one more day. That's all. In reality, we got our life from Him. You see, whether we know Him or not, our life is from Him. We don't really forsake Him. So when people forsake God, they think their life, they are not answerable to Him. Well, my brother, And when people are in this condition, when you are in this condition, you desire not to live by His will. But God cautions all such self-deluded persons. The second part of verse 19. Says, "Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, said the Lord God of hosts, Ọsẹ hwẹ sẹ ẹyẹ bọni pa ni ẹyẹ how do I say the bitterness in me? As ẹdẹ ayọrẹnku ana sẹ ẹdẹ achete ẹna ẹdẹ bẹbẹrẹ ano. Yẹ kọpọ ọsẹ hwẹ sẹ ọpọ kasa ọpọ mi a achete ni how na ẹdẹ to ẹyẹ bọni pa sẹ ọdi pa ọno wa bọ ọno sẹ mi diẹ. In person, my friend, my home, but you come abroad, what's the name of it? I say, I say, and the bro. Huh? I say, Miss Row, and you move. See? To forsake God, to cast away the fear of God, I say, I say, a bear man, you know, their mouth. Remember, whosoever forsake God, it will follow that you ignore God's will for sinner salvation. That's where the problem is. Obia or because of our poor idea, on person can no hunun. Yanko for any pair or the other two or my phone quite young, over poor. That is where the trouble is. How can you be saved from your sin? If you ignore God, you ignore His will for because every sinner, if you are not saved from sin, you'll be condemned. And then here you are a sinner. Well, I don't want to care about God, I don't want to know Him. Yes, then you also forsake His will to save you. And then the person at the point of people name no. So also over poor and also. You never know salvation. His purpose to give new life to us through forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross so that when we believe in Him, He forgive us of our sins and makes us anew to give us spiritual life, to give spiritual life to our soul so that we become spiritually alive. Yankupon wa any per se. Say ya the boy for no ye ni and kwa away a crab bet me any no ye huno so ye ni sa a su and I said and kwa bema ye to me ye ye di pa ye better na some wasi ni hun or come for so the maya so se ye kunwa some come for the maya no who ye be some kwa no yes Christo and I'm a summa yes Christo so the money chewa. Young one of my own, if you say, only if you say, I know. So, just here. So, God's purpose to give us new life. Yes, He has purpose to bring us into this world. But it is His purpose that we are born in sin because we come from Adam. But He has a purpose for us that you give us a new life, which will grant us to be able to be saved out of our life of sin, a life which we never knew Him because we are sinners, to bring us to Himself. So you ignore Him, you ignore that purpose for your life, where you can become spiritually alive to know Him, the new life which will bring a discovery of the true purpose of life. When I started, I said that acquiring material things and living well in this world is not the true purpose of life. It's getting the new life which God gives is the purpose of our existence, so that when I live, I have my physical birth, but for me to live, to be able to live well, I must have that new life. See, but from that new life, I will discover the true purpose of life, and also this life will bring me to a personal relationship with Him. I am quite a man, you are bravo, Miss Mabravo, and so the dainty Aberriasi. Never made any young person, young Kitahudie, even who know. You see, yet if you ignore Him, you reject this blessing of a new life which we have through Christ. You know, when Nicodemus came to Lord Jesus Christ, he was a religious leader, but he didn't have the new life. But the Lord just reminded him, you need to have this life to your soul to become one that God, you can be God, you can know God. To do the kingdom of heaven, to know God and to really know His blessing of forgiveness, to know His blessing of love and care, so that when you come to die, you'll be free from your sin's punishment. You should have this new life in you. A life which Christ gives us when we come to believe in Him. When we come to repent of sin and trust in Him, and yield up our life to Him, submit our life to Him, and seek not to live by our own wisdom, but His, which He has shown us. See, and inquire, or the Maya, This is the life from God. What every sinner needs. Because this life brings to us true peace, well-being, and happiness. Whosoever is without this new life knows no happiness. Let him bring all the happiness in this world, he has no happiness at all. The Lord Jesus Christ died to bring us to this life, and those who forsake God, you forsake Christ, you forsake the life God gives, you forsake true life fulfillment. You know, there are so many ideas of life fulfillment in the Asian religions, like Hindu, Buddhism, and other things. Well, there are so many teachings about how to live well and have a well fulfilled life. You discover it from your own self. What a shame. A sinner discovering good from his own self. And yet people follow it. And what they get. I'll come to that. I don't want to go ahead of myself. But then, when you forsake God's will for sinners, you forsake life to fulfillment. But the sad thing is that people who forsake God, they still hope that they'll have the best of life. So open your book, my brother. Is it possible? It's not. Look at the struggles of people without God. If you talk, you know people who do not know God. You see how they are troubled. They are not content. You know, they are never satisfied. They are always anxious. You see, even those who seem to be calm and that they seem not to be so much ambitious. Still, if you know them, you see that no, they are struggling. You see, yes, we have to live our life and struggle for whatever we need, but no. The happiness of life, if we know God, we don't struggle for it. Whether we have or not, it doesn't change our happiness. It doesn't change our peace and contentment in this life. But people who don't know God, whether they have or not, they have no peace. Something disturbs, something worries them, something makes them so bitter. That is it. Without God, you can never have the best of life. Without the new life in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings to us true purpose of life, you will never have the best of life. Achieve whatever you can. You'll be miserable. I go to my second thought. We think of the healed system, because the times I've already gone ahead of myself. And when they are forsaking God, said, and heal them out systems, broken systems that can hold no water. So, he says, when people forsake him, they go to do other things. Yes. Well, a system is a vessel for storing water, like also how fountains store water. But this is just a smaller, and sometimes something that time it is made to collect rainwater. In the villages, if you go there, you see the a picture would be like maybe a small water reservoir in the house to collect rainwater. See, that's a picture. Which is something which is different from a fountain itself, which water gushes out from itself. Which, comparing this thing, you see, the system is just a small thing. It cannot be compared with a whole fountain that flows with water. And so the quantity of water in the system is always limited and not reliable. And in the dry season, it will dry out. You see? It will dry out and then. Not only that, those water we keep in the world, the scent is not fresh, and it's always stagnant, you know. So you see, I do go grow me oh, few near I don't know. Ninkano, enyekam, ina say we have watched a church, we have a very, anya de tumi sun, They be also a little frogum because no one can say you need to know. And by doing crumble, I say it too. You see, you have to fetch it out and clean it up and pour another. But whoever goes to a fountain to clean it up, it's always fresh. That is the comparison. So, 6 things here indicate all things which people hope in for peace, well-being, happiness, when they determine to do away with God. And Mura noa yangu ponse Israel 42. Ejahoma adibia ni pata ni reshe muzo benya sumbie, benya hutoe, benya bebo abrabo, abrabo bedi ya abrabo. Mura sani pano adi ashe na kumemse medie benya yangu pon enishuye. I said earlier those who say God, they may go to church. Well, there are others who don't go to church at all. They may go to church, they may try to have religion, but yet they wouldn't want to know God. They wouldn't want to have a relationship with Him to become serious Christians. They want to be one of those Christians. No, they wouldn't want to be known as, well, I am a Christian, I have, and I stand by Christians that are known. I want to be seen as a Christian. I wouldn't want to be seen as a serious Christian so that I can have a free life to do what I please. Because when you become a true Christian, you become ashamed of any habit of sin. You are so careful to live to please God, and it makes your life, in the word, restricted. Yes, Christianity is a restricted life. It's not a free for life. So by Christoni Papa, Eyabrawa, Yakupon, Nemra, and Chicho. Eyabrawa, we free some media. No, Christianity, if we are true Christians, you will live a restricted life. Now, what Jesus Christ said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. See? Denial of self, you have to cut off so many things from yourself. Life, happiness, which, and many things which you think they are peace and they are profitable to you. Okay, so, when people have do away with God, rather they want to seek fulfillment in things which cannot satisfy. Example, we have, then they tend to worldly entertainment. We are saying the J now from the Murakoshi. So many in the J people. Some also tend to wealth, at least to have more covetous, and I just want to accumulate more so that I can be happy. It can really satisfy me. Well, people also set ambitions, worldly ambitions. You know, people, if their ambitions are taken away, they are miserable. What they want to pursue in life, I've seen friends, they are so troubled. Why? They want to do this and they want to travel and it's not coming on, or they want to do this business, or they want to, and they are always in trouble. It's not that they don't have what they eat, but they want something which is not actually connected with their food they are eating, but they are miserable for not having it. Worldliness, you see, He has created that system and it's worrying Him because it cannot satisfy Him. Reputations, people will do anything for honor. Want to be seen and known. Well, maybe if the education, I want to climb the ladder, everyone will see me, I am so so and so coming. And He doesn't care if going to that far really let Him do away with God. He doesn't care about that. All that I'm saying here, except the evil of them, it's not wrong to accumulate wealth so that you use to do other good things. It's not wrong to have money and riches. But when you put your hopes in them and ignore God, you know, if you make wealth without ignoring God, you will never put your hope in them. You will have it, but it will be nothing to you. If you may have reputation in this world and that you will never ignore God by achieving that, that reputation will be nothing to you. That's what Apostle Paul said, that I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Paul was an accomplished lawyer. Paul was a learned person. His wisdom, I mean, his learning helped him. His education helped him to really be able to rewrite books, other things. But he never took pride in them because they were nothing to him. You see, if he had sought them for their own, he wouldn't have let them go. But when we come to the Lord, we see that these are nothing. So, finding fulfillment in these things is what the Lord God is speaking against. This, and He says that these are what? cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Because while they can hold no true enjoyment, the enjoyment in these things are short-lived. You see, even if you live for a long time, I mean, I'm sure we know our grandparents, those of us, I don't have my grandparents living though, those of you who have grandparents living, go ahead to 100 years and over, ask them of their, whatever they had in life, whatever reputation, whatever, ask them if it values, is anything valuable to them. If really, they have really, some people may live to die and still be proud in whatever they have. If really they have come to know what life really, they'll tell you they are nothing. And they even tell you that they wish they had not lived like that. You see? They are nothing. They are short-lived. And again, even that old age, they cannot enjoy the enjoyment in all those they acquire. You see? It cannot satisfy. Why these things are like systems and broken systems? Because it cannot satisfy the soul's true longing, which is found in the new life that God gives to us when we repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord God gives us this, this is where we have satisfaction. And that all the things that people will spend their energy for, if it's not that coming to know the Lord and having this in our souls, whether we have or not, it will not bring them happiness. They will have no happiness in those things. You know that? And when people spend energy for these things and forsake God with the hope of securing happiness by them, they will become disappointed at last. Because it will not satisfy, it cannot hold them up, you see. Just a bodily discomfort can take away any pleasure in anything we have acquired in this world. Just a simple illness. Last time I used toothache. I've not experienced, but those who have experienced, they said, if you have a toothache, as if your head is blown off. There's no happiness. Just a simple toothache could lead to have no interest in anything at all. And I'm sure if it lasts too far, even malaria. Any other bodily weakness will take away every delight in anything. And then you are distressed. You see? Whatever you thought to secure from them, just an illness will take away that joy from them. My cousin, I have a cousin once, he told me that he knew a wealthy man, and this man, whenever the thought of death comes to his mind, he feels unhappy. He will complain, why has God made death? Why? Because he wants to live many years to enjoy his riches. And he cannot imagine dying and leaving his riches behind. All that he has lived for, he went to live outside to toil and toil and labor. He has really built a mansion, had a business. He can't think of, he's growing. He knows death will catch up with him. He cannot think of dying and living those things. So whenever he thinks of death, he's not happy. He's complaining. Why has God God didn't do well to give death? See, he never discovered the true purpose of life. So he lived by his own imaginations. He accomplished what the world called life well lived. But he never lived well in the eyes of God. He never received his soul that new life. That will bring true peace to him, true forgiveness of sin, which we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, before I come to your conclusion, where is your hope? Where have you placed your hope? Where is your hope? Is it in Jesus Christ or in the things of this life? Where is your hope? Where do you think that you are deriving happiness from, or you want to derive happiness from, and you are exerting yourself for? If it's not that, yes, you have to work and do whatever you do to earn a living, but your hopes should not be in them. If your hopes are in them, you can never know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never repent of sin, because it will not occur to you. Those things become your idols, and you hook up to them. You didn't care about your life of sin before God. And be sure to fix your hope on Jesus Christ. And you can only fix your hope by repenting of your sin and trusting in Him, asking Him to forgive you of your sin and to give you that new life. So people say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. But is your hope? Is He your hope? Is He your everything? Don't you like, and are you not, don't you cherish other things above Him? Worldly entertainment, wealth, reputations, so that you don't care about His commands? Yes, people say they love Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. And yet, they love their things.
you see. But no, to be able to really live a fulfilled life, you must have your hope in Christ to receive to your soul this new life. Else, you'll be a loser when life closes upon you. So when yes, Christo, now for Ryan, see me now, I'm Mao, and Fana, and also the mind, and to be who, and maybe to be Barbara, boy, soon, and you know, I brought back where we know. Once why, we did Google. Why you'll be a Barbara Bono, for so be a master. You'll be a loser. You die as a sinner, you remain an unbeliever, no spiritual life in your soul, and then you lose eternal life. As when yes, Christo, and Kwanoa, when young Kwanoa, crap. You lose them. You may go to church. You may put in your mind, well, yeah, I've died for a sin. But if you don't have you don't make a conscious effort to have personal relationship with God, to know Him, to seek Him, to submit your life to Him, you will never live a well accomplished life in this life. And you go out of this world with shame. Because you go and stand before God. As I said, Job said, naked I came, naked will go. All that you hoped in for, it's whether I leave you here or you don't leave it. And what have you got? Your sins before God, and what will you answer for that life you live? May the Lord help each one of us who have not come to know Him to turn to Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of sin and to trust in Him. For He has died for sinners. He died on the cross of Calvary for sinners. You see, so that whoever calls on Him, He will not reject. He will save you. He will give you that new life. And then you begin to know the true purpose of life. Let's pray.